grateful for hundreds. Not just those that have pleased me, but any whose lessons my body absorbs. How I lean to their speech. How they pull me out of that room a man once made of his life because he saw nothing for himself on the street. Of all the places to hide, the woods, the brush, the sea, caves to go where the only people are those in ancient paintings. Why choose a room? Your window and silhouette above the sidewalks of the town, as though waiting for their necks to crane to where you left them, your breath pressed to the glass pane, praying to be found.
I don't believe in ghosts, but if you come back from the dead, give you all my love and be your family in their stead. I'd replace a passion for each of your mistakes, and we would count the birthdays by the candles on your cake and light lights to glow in your face, each one burning with the year of your age. Blow them out, the strength of your lungs. Consider what you've done, consider what you've done.
Talk to me. Because I'm standing here, I gotta Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, that was a little bit of Peaches to start off the hour. Just a little bit of Talk to Me, which I thought was very appropriate for the beginning of Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. If you're just joining us, or perhaps you heard me flirting with Val before the show started, about the fact that we are going to be talking about biological clocks tonight, which I think a lot of women and a lot of men experience the biological clock, the tick-tock, tick-tock, at 10 o'clock, whatever time it is, whenever it is. Sometimes you feel just that urge where you need to have a child. You need to have that, just that primal instinct, and you just need to indulge and just go there and just get some. And it's because you want to procreate, and sometimes I think it's because that's why we're all here. So, with that, I am going to start off. There's some interesting things in terms of why do we want to reproduce? And part of that is it's a desire to reproduce the best part of ourselves, according to the complete single mom. So I thought that was really interesting. Other things, obviously, is a strong mothering instinct and the ability to get what you want out of life, and the awareness that your biological clock is ticking away. These reasons for wanting a baby would be the same whether or not you have a partner or not. In fact, the term single mother by choice can be misleading because it implies that the choice was to be single and not to be a mother. Most single mothers by choice prefer to emphasize the mother part of that phrase, although it may be because it may be their, may have been their choice, may not have been their choice to be single. But it was certainly their choice to become a mother. And many single mothers by choice eventually partner, but generally they do not seek a relationship to find a father figure for their children. Usually single mothers by choice commonly tend to spend a good deal of time planning their entry into motherhood, regardless of whatever their former lifestyle. And if someone's been in a relationship, divorce once or twice, sometimes people realize that they get a little bit jaded and, you know, decide that maybe Mr. Right's not going to come along, and you're in your childbearing years. And again, this goes back and forth. This isn't just definitely just all about women here. I have had ex-boyfriends actually ask me where they've told me straight up. It's like, you are awesome and you know, I wouldn't object to if you got pregnant, raising the child on my own, where they really, really had that biological clock going in their own. Even though I was, as I stated to them, I was not ready to have a child at that stage of my life. And thankfully, I've been really lucky that I've never had to make that decision, even though I know a lot of women have. It's one of those things that's really, really important. But sometimes that serious relationship just doesn't come. And it's a matter of really, really deciding, like, you know, why? You know, why are you doing this? And it's important to really make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, making sure if you choose to do it, I think parenthood is a huge responsibility and a wonderful, beautiful gift. I actually spent the afternoon with my old co-host from Juicebox Radio, Julia Saunders, and her little one is just so beautiful. It just kind of got my clock going on just ever so slightly, but not quite, because I'm not quite ready for that yet. It's a really huge decision to have a baby. So number one is really asking yourself, are you ready for it? And what does ready for it mean? Like, really, sometimes it's a good chance to actually spend some time with a friend or, you know, volunteering at a daycare program just to experience kids and see, is this something that you really want in your life? Because children are definitely a life-altering experience. And I know most people I know that have had children would not trade it for the world, but I do believe it's, I don't think you're ever completely ready for it, but I do believe that you should be at least ready to make some concessions in your life, that your life is going to change, and just expect it to evolve, and just learning how to prioritize your life and your time Also checking in to see in terms of financially, can you afford to have a child? And sometimes kids can be fairly expensive, so making sure that you have that time and you have the finances together in terms of having a baby. Also, what type of partnership in terms of, are you getting a sperm donor to donate the sperm, or are you going to go out and find somebody who genetically looks like it might be a really good fit, where perhaps the pheromones are just going? Because usually if somebody smells really, really good to you, a lot of times that means genetically you're going to have a really nice baby. Like if you chose to get pregnant, or it just happened that you got pregnant, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'd have a really good relationship with that person necessarily. But usually pheromones work quite nicely, and it's very carnal, very sexual, and very, very hot at different times. Because, I mean, if you're going to have a baby, it would be nice to enjoy it. Obviously, there's other ways to have children. So there are some rules, but one of the really big things in terms of as a woman is just knowing that, you know, you only have a certain amount of time, you know, even though it seems to be expanding. But no matter how much we like it, you know, our eggs do age, and sometimes it makes it more difficult to get pregnant. And this is from the Chicago Tribune, just in regards to, you know, is there such thing as a good egg, or and what differentiates a good egg from a bad egg? And according to this article, Dr. Angeline Belstos from the Fertility Centers of Illinois took the time to explain this to the writer. That the older a woman gets, the more brittle and more easily damaged her eggs get. And at the same time, the egg's exterior gets a little less pliable and harder to penetrate by sperm swimming up to her reproductive tract. And also the machinery, interesting way of describing it, inside the egg isn't quite as well oiled and doesn't function as well, meaning the egg has less chance of developing properly, according to Dr. Belstos. And from the age of 32 on, these effects begin to show up, and the quality of women's eggs begin to deteriorate. So by the early 40s, women tend to run out of quote-unquote good or viable eggs. And what about these 40-something Hollywood beauties who are cuddling newborns on magazines, the author asks. And they said it's about some eggs that are sometimes from donors, usually young donors, used to become pregnant, is what some fertility experts suggest. And if you consider these numbers, according to Dr. Kevin Lederer, president of the Fertility Centers of Illinois, under the age of 34, women have a 20% chance of conceiving in a given month, and 20% of those pregnancies will end in a miscarriage. After 35, a woman's likelihood of conceiving in a given month drops to 10%, and her miscarriage rate goes up to 30%. After 40, she has a 5% chance of getting pregnant and a 40% chance of having a miscarriage. And after 42, 99% of fertility is over, according to Dr. Lederer. And the message is clear, where it's like, if you wait till your late 30s to have a baby, you might run into problems. If you wait till your 40s, and most of the time you could be out of luck unless you turn to an egg donor. And apparently demographics trends reported by the National Center of Vital Statistics go the opposite direction. They show a declining birth rate for women in their 20s, a 20% increase for women in their 30s to 34, and a 40% increase for women 35 to 39 years old, and a 60%, wow, that's huge, a 60% jump from the 40 to 44-year-old set. And this I thought was really interesting. Apparently, 150% rise for women from 45 to 49. And this is according to the National Center of Vital Statistics. So I thought that was really interesting. And obviously that is really huge. And what the author points out is perhaps these numbers are so huge because the number of moms in this increase is extremely low. And of course, obviously the trend is huge for fertility centers because there's a lot of women who are going there. But the bad news is there's a lot of women who are counting on a certain age to have their kids, again, taking into consideration, you know, am I ready for this? And especially with women wanting to focus on their careers and just being at a certain stage of their life before they choose to have children, sometimes it, according to this in vitro fertilization will be, in terms of it being successful, can diminish as well. And of course, obviously you can fight it, but biology is really, really key. And there is a small number who are fortunate enough to know someone, and this is in Canada, where sometimes you may have somebody who will donate an egg out of goodwill, but only one kind of egg donation is allowed under the Canadian law. And those without a charitable donor and might have to look overseas for a paid donor at their own risk. And although donor eggs in rare cases of women giving birth well into their 50s and 60s have made huge headlines, sparking debates about how old is too old to be a mom, last week an expert panel recommended that Ottawa's healthcare plan cover the cost of in vitro fertilization for anyone who is unable to conceive on their own, including same-sex couples and people wanting to be parents. And this was taken from an article from the Globe and Mail, but not for women over 42. And the panel says it's a cost-benefits decision based on the very low chance of a woman over 42 getting pregnant through in vitro, not a judgment on the ideal age of parenting. And if indeed the recommendations are implemented through the Ontario government, they're currently under review. Women over 42 will still be able to get fertility treatments, provided that they pay for it. So I don't know. It's pretty interesting with all that stuff. Other things, obviously, the age limit and parenthood. It's are reasonable, according to Margaret Somerville, who's the director of the McGill Center for Medicine, Ethics, and Law. And it's interesting because Dr. Somerville says only a minority of ethicists subscribe to the absolute right to reproductive freedom, and which would permit women to have a baby at any age, at any means, from cloning to paying a surrogate to give birth. So that's interesting in terms of the cutoff being at 42. And Dr. Somerville does believe that there should be a limit in terms of who gets public funds, as only about 40% of women who do get pregnant after 42 are able to carry their babies to term. And yes, Dr. Somerville does say it's discrimination, but it's one of the only ways to handle that, putting it ethically and fairly by putting the child first. So I don't know. It's really interesting. So I mean, it made me wonder. It's like, what happens in other countries? What else are other people doing? And apparently in Australia, the government pays for the first half of in vitro, and it has no age limit for the treatment, according to Peter Illingford, who is head of Australia's most prominent fertility clinic, says that public funding of in vitro has been strongly supported by lobby groups since it was introduced in 1990. So I thought that's interesting. So we're definitely behind them in terms of health and having babies. So I thought that was interesting in that perspective, at least in vitro. And apparently, Peter Illingsford sat on a government panel about 5 years ago where it was recommended an age restriction at 43, but the government looked at it and thought that it was discriminatory, which is what they've come to senses with in Australia. And he's also added that women under 35 have a 30 to 40 percent chance of success with in vitro, while those aged 41 to 42 have about a 10% chance. And most fertility specialists will treat women over 45 in rare cases, but it's very, very extreme, extremely rare circumstances. It's an interesting decision if you're thinking of becoming a surrogate for someone. There's a lot of injections And it can be a really difficult process. BC Women's Hospital has some great resources. If you want to find out more information, it's worth visiting their website and finding out in terms of getting the test to see if it would be a good fit and whether you're healthy enough to actually take that on. Because, of course, that could have possibly potentially affect your own health. And it's really important to make sure that you can take care of yourself. We're going to take a really short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about in vitro and also about just being aware of some people who really, 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 really want a baby, like male and female. And it's interesting because in AskMen.com, they've described women who want to get pregnant deliberately because they really, really, really want a baby and they don't communicate about it. They call them sperm jerkers. So we're going to be talking a little bit about sperm jerkers in the second half of the show. We're also going to be talking a little bit more about in vitro and also asking the question, do or do not men have biological clock? I don't know. We're going to find out in that second half of the show, so stay tuned. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM, CITR. We will be right back.
Look at his face. Is this an album cover? Oh, this is Alviro.
Talking about my generation.
CITR 101.9 FM, in conjunction with the Vancouver Film Festival, present Discorama by Glacé. From 1959 to 1974, Denise Glacé's popular music program Discorama featured everyone who is anyone in French music, from Serge Gainsbourg and Charles Aznavour to Juliette Gréco and Johnny Hallyday. Esther Heffenberg's chronicle of the show is both a vividly entertaining film and an invaluable historical document. Discorama by Glacé, playing Thursday, October 1st at Van City Theater, Sunday, October 4th at Pacific Cinémathèque, and Sunday, October 11th at Empire Granville. Brought to you by the Vancouver International Film Festival and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
So do you. listen up, listen up, listen up. Voices scatter, 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 listen up, listen up, listen up. Voices scatter.
The boys wanna be heard. The girls wanna be heard.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we're back, and that was a little bit of Peaches, which I just find super sweet. So we started off the show at the top of the hour with Peaches, and of course, halfway through, Boys Want to Be Her, which I thought was interesting and very appropriate, because with the whole biological clock, since we're talking a lot in the first half in terms of about in vitro, as well as in terms of biological clocks, tick-tock, tick-tock, don't stop, keep it going, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh baby. And right before the break, we're talking about the fact that there is an interesting article, actually, about what they call sperm jerkers, which I thought was very interesting, and in AskMen.com, which I thought was interesting. And, yeah, there are some women out there that really want to get pregnant, just as there's some guys out there that just want to impregnate women. And I just find it a really huge, hot turn on. And I think there's a lot of people who have that as a sexual fantasy as well, in terms of actually getting pregnant. But for a lot of people, it is a really primal, really, really intense need. So according to AskMen.com, they say as the economy continues to shrink faster than your willy in a cold swimming pool, the last thing you need is more news to get worried about. And unfortunately for all of those guys out there, there is a new threat that has emerged, and this one is not out to get your money, your freedom, or your season's tickets. Instead, this little menace has its eyes on something else entirely, your spunk. It may be hard to believe, but in a new book written by author Mary Poles, suggests that an increasing number of women, interestingly, it's been written by a woman, but apparently there is an increasing number of women who are resorting to rather desperate measures in order to get pregnant, even if it's by a guy they just met, according to Poles and others like her. Some women are just coming to the end of their most fertile years with no other choice left than to get knocked up accidentally on purpose, which is what the title of the book is, which I am definitely going to have to read because I find this really interesting. And according to the author, he says, well, still confused? And the scenario might typically unfold. You meet an attractive, single, 30-something woman in the bar, and things quickly go to the bedroom. Or as you fumble around for a condom, she insists, that won't be necessary. I'm on the pill. And claims to have regular health checkups. Alarm bells should be ringing in your head by now. And especially if you listen to this show, you should know, please practice safe sex. And please do not fall under the curse of man where you're not thinking with the head that you have your mouth and your teeth and everything on. Not with your cock. Think with your head. So that at least that when you don't just really, really protect yourself. So then that way, Otherwise, you don't end up with flash forward a few months later. You pick up the phone to find out that you're going to be a dad. Guess what, guys? You've been sperm jacked, according to this article. And according to this, this is what the sperm jacker profile is. You've probably met the type, the mid to late 30s, single, childless, career-driven, and slightly wary of everything she sees and hears. You shouldn't confuse her for a cougar there, who's merely an older woman looking for a good time with a younger man. Instead, the sperm jacker has a different agenda, one that is entirely more sinister, and she'll do anything it takes to get her goal. For purely biological reasons, sperm jackers will prey on younger, more virile, potent men, whether subconsciously or not. If making the baby is the underlying motivation behind her seduction, she'll target those who appear to be genetically superior. Clearly, the woman wants to be selective in her criteria for identifying the potential father of her child. Here is what to look for when being targeted by a sperm jacker. You can see her taking stock. If she's admiring your physical features noticeably more than what you'd actually say, she may be after something more than just your company. Does she casually question you and your family's medical history? Does she pay special attention to things like your teeth and your hairline? Even if she doesn't realize it, there will be signs of her sizing you up as a potential donor. She is nonchalant about the need for contraception. For an older woman not to be concerned about the risks of having unprotected sex is mind-blowing, and it should have you immediately questioning her intentions. Whether it is virtually impossible to be of that generation and not be highly aware of the dangers of HIV and AIDS, there are a few more things you need to look out for when avoiding the sperm jacker. The sperm jacker. Wah-ha. That would actually make a really good PSA for my show. Actually, that'd be very highly entertaining. The sperm jacker. Wah-ha. She, number two. She is highly aware of your ability to support. A woman who is looking for someone to father her child will not be interested in one who can't seem to afford a pair of new shoes. I disagree with that because there are some women who out there who are not in it for the cash, because there are some of them out there that don't want the response, you know, don't want to deal with having a relationship. They just want the child. So that's really, really where they're focusing on that. So, but they say here that she may be more aware of, say, a junior accountant than a college student. And she could be an older woman in a young person's playground. The sperm jacker knows that in order to increase her chances of getting pregnant and accomplishing her goal, she needs to find the most fertile partner possible. Perhaps she's already tried with men her own age and older, and is now hoping to get with a much healthier sperm count. So she goes to places where younger men hang out. Guys don't get sperm jacks. And many women, and like me, who are thinking, don't flatter yourself, guys. But the fact remained, in part thanks to books like Women Like Poles, these books, that there are a growing number of women who are single, childless, and hellbent on satisfying the belief that every woman is entitled to have a child of her own, even if she can't seem to make a relationship last than more than a few months. Which, you know what, I think it is your prerogative if you choose to have a child or not. But again, it comes down to, instead of jacking somebody's sperm the way that they discuss, I think it comes down to communication, which if you are looking for someone who, whether or not it's having their sperm or having a good time and getting pregnant, as I was joking about earlier at the top of the hour, really making sure making sure you communicate with this person. If it's somebody you don't want to have a baby with, or sorry, let me rate it that you don't want a relationship with, but you would like to have their baby because you think genetically it could be a really great match, then that's really important to discuss. If it happens and you're not doing it for sperm jacking possibility, it's something that really needs to be discussed, because there are two people who, you know, are responsible, like just on that genetic code of that child. So it's really important to just really discuss that with that other party. And it's really good just in general to have a conversation about pregnancy prior to having a baby with somebody. And if you don't know somebody very well, it's really, really key to be using protection regardless of the situation. I think it's really, really important because you don't know what somebody's got. You don't know whether or not there's any STIs out there. Protecting yourself from HIV, AIDS, hepatitis C, and not to freak you out and not to encourage you to have a great sex life, but I think sex comes with responsibility, and it's really, really, really important to make sure you take that responsibility and be respectful towards somebody. And if you are trying to sperm that jack them, be honest about it. And just so then that way they don't end up in a predicament, because I think psychologically it could be really traumatic for somebody if they got somebody pregnant and then either found out that you didn't want them as in part of their life, all those types of things, because it really does take two. And I think it's important to be honest with that thing right from the get-go. It's very, 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 very key. And it's important because we want to make sure that things go well. So other things that are on the market these days, which on the Ask Men website, which I thought was pretty cool, is in terms of using condoms. And I know a lot of us really, really, really seriously hate using condoms, but they are a necessary evil. If you're not using condoms, it's really disrespectful to your partner that you're with, whether or not it's a one-night stand or whether it's a long-term relationship, until you've gotten to that point where you can safely, you know, just to be, you know, where you've been with somebody long enough where you can, and you do trust them. And again, that is based on trust, because sometimes people do cheat. We have done shows on this. Yeah, I'm sure you're aware of that. That even though I think at some point you do have to bite the bullet and just trust somebody, but it's really important. But now apparently there are condoms out there that are double-sided, which apparently Lifestyle's condoms, they've got one called the X2, which I thought was pretty cool, because I'm usually trying to advise to put lubricant on the inside of the condom as well as the exterior. It usually comes with it as well, so then that way both people enjoy a little bit of sensation, so it's not just a dry rub and it's not rubber rubbing against skin, where it can be very, very painful and very uncomfortable. And with condoms, I thought it was really interesting. They've got a few things in there. One of the things in terms of this particular condom, apparently they've got an excitement enhancement safe is what they call this particular one, which who knows how it actually works, because listeners out there, if you check this out, please let me know how it works, because I'd be very curious, because obviously it's really important in terms of that just practicing safe sex, but obviously making sure in terms of that you are just being really safe, really good. But as well as that, the key in terms of using these particular condoms, apparently, which I thought was pretty cool, is there is the Excite Enhancement Gel that's actually on the inside and the outside of these condoms, which I thought was pretty trippy, because apparently, according to this, L-arginine, which I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. It's a natural supplement, which is believed by some to enhance sensation. And I thought that's really important, because a lot of people hate that. So I'd be really curious in terms of how that feels. So let us know in terms of if you get a chance to try those. Those are the new Lifestyles X2 condoms, because that could be very entertaining. So we are going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking a little bit about whether or not guys have a biological clock or not. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM, CITR. We will be right back.
Remember when you first learned about the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries? trees, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more. Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website, www.spec.bc.ca, for more information.
Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard?
Can you cut it?
Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard?
Cut it.
Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard? Can you cut the mustard?
Cut it.
You got a butter mouth, butter cup, butter bones, butter up. Black hanky, straight shot, no wrinkle, flame hot. Tongue teaser, old geezer, shrimp pleaser, fridge freezer, kitchen cleaner, cherry picker, soup sipper, lily dipper, hoop snake, double header, flip flop, 69, a dairy farmer, cream of the crop, got rich, don't stop. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Just a fish. Bam, bam, you wanna ram it down, pull back the curtains and feed the clam. Bo peep, looky free, peer queer, voyeur. Wind jammer, party slammer, cake eater, vacuum cleaner. Private rave, taste bud, jelly cave, little nerd. Call it a queeb, call it a quiff. Fist fuck, cock suck, what's the diff? Call it a queeb, call it a quiff. Big chuck, young buck, what's the diff? Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Toss, freak a floss, tweak a sauce, leak a moss, shriek a face, artist, linguist, ficky fix, specialist, easy knock, easy make, easy bake, oven quick, bucket boy, wet spaghetti, whack job, lunch is ready. Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard?
Can you cut it?
Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard?
Cut it.
Can you cut the mustard to clear the custard? Can you cut the mustard to cut it? Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic. Slippery dick, it's just a fish in the Atlantic.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. I thought Slippery Dick might be very, very appropriate, considering, well, it's a little bit of peaches, which I'm kind of on a peaches roll tonight, just a Canadian gal, lots of hot, sexy stuff that she talks about, and I thought it was very appropriate considering we're talking about whether or not guys have biological clocks or not. So with that, we will see what happens. So do guys, yes or no? You should let me know what you think, if they do or not. Either way, in regards to biological clocks, I can remember back when the movie When Harry Met Sally came out in the 80s. And one of the things Sally was crying about in one of the scenes was she was bemoaning about the fact that, you know, guys could have babies at any age. And one of the things Harry said to her was, he said, well, yeah, but, or she mentions about Charlie Chaplin being able to have a baby when he's 80. And what Harry says back is just, well, you know, he wasn't, you know, but he couldn't even pick him up. And then, you know, she starts laughing. And, you know, there's some truth to that because, I mean, we've got this whole thing, which, yes, men can have babies supposedly at any age, but can they have healthy babies at any age is the question. And apparently there is more evidence in terms of the fact that as men get older, they face an increasing risk of fathering with children with abnormalities. So in terms of the biological clock, yes, if guys want to have a healthy baby, they need to start looking at when they're having children and stop postponing marriage and babies. Because it's really important to have happy, healthy children. And up until now, problems were known to occur more often with advanced paternal age, so rare that they received very little public attention. But there's newer studies that are alarming because they found higher rates of more common conditions such as autism and schizophrenia in offspring born to men in their middle to late 40s. Middle to late 40s. So guys, you're kind of on the same page as us ladies in some ways about that. And there's a number of studies that also suggest that male fertility may diminish with age, which I'd be very curious to see in terms of the correlation from that and erectile dysfunction, which could be interesting. And apparently, according to Dr. Harry Fish, there is a difference between men and women simply women simply can't have children after a certain age. And Dr. Harry Finch is the director for the Male Productive Center at the New York Presbyterian Hospital /Columbia University Medical Center and the author of The Male Biological Clock. So I'm sure there's some more interesting things in his book. But Dr. Fish also says, but not every guy can be guaranteed that everything is going to be fine. And fertility will drop for some men, whereas others will maintain their fertility, but just not to the same degree. And there's also an increased risk of genetic abnormalities. And it's an odd subject because, according to him, genetic maternal age is formally defined. Women who are 35 years or older when they deliver their babies may have AMA stamped on their medical files to draw attention to the higher risks that they face. But the concept of advanced paternal age is murky, and many experts are skeptical about the latest findings, and doctors appear in no rush to set guidelines or safety parameters for would-be dads, content instead to issue vague sooner than rather later warnings. And the problem with the data, it's very sparse right now, according to Larry Lipschultz, who is a specialist in the field of male infertility and past president of the American Society of Reproductive Medicine. And he doesn't believe that there's a consensus of what patients should be warned about. And many men do maintain their fertility, apparently. But according to Dr. Rebecca Sokol, who is the president of Society of Male Reproduction and Urology. If you look at all males over 40 or 50, yes, there is a decline in the number of sperm being produced, and there may be a decline in the amount of testosterone. But by the large, she says, the sperm can still do their job. And some advocates welcome the attention being paid to the issue of male fertility, saying it's long overdue, and add that it could level the playing field between men and women in the premarital dating game. And the message to guys is, apparently, wake up and smell the Java, according to Pamela Madison, who's executive director of the American Fertility Association, a national education advocacy group. It's not just about women anymore, it's about you too. And it takes two to make a baby, she says. And men one day who want to become dads need to wake up and read what's out there and take responsibility. Ms. Mesden also says that she doesn't see why everybody's so concerned, and everyone ages, and why would sperm cells be the only cells that not age as men get older? Which that is really, really true. So it's interesting in terms of about sperm, and it's it's interesting in terms of geneticists have been aware for decades that the risk of certain rare birth defects increase with the father's age. One of the most studied conditions is dwarfism, and that list also includes other neurofibromatosis, and which is the connective tissues disorder, Marfan syndrome, and skull and facial abnormalities like Apert syndrome, and many other diseases and abnormalities. And apparently, according to Dr. Jolie Simpson, who's the president-elect of the American College of American Genetics, they've counseled for a long time as to parental age increases with the father's age, and one of the most, as his age increases, and there is an increased frequency in mutations, which doesn't surprise. And some studies suggest that the risk of sporadic single gene mutations may be 4 to 5 times higher for fathers that are 45 years older or older compared to fathers in their 20s, according to Dr. Simpson. Overall, having an older father is estimated to increase the risk of a birth defect by 1% against a background 3% risk for a birth defect, he says. And even grandchildren may be at greater risk for some conditions that are not expressed in the daughter of an older father. Gosh, that's scary, according to the American College of Medical Genetics. And this includes muscular dystrophy and some types of hemophilia and Fragile X syndrome. So there's a lot of information actually out there in terms of it, which up until this time, apparently a lot of that has always been if baby, when there's defects, usually a lot of times it has been blamed on the mom. But apparently, according to Dr. Avi Reichenberg, who's the lead author of a study that's being published in September in the Archives of General Psychiatry, they found a dose response to the relationship. The older the dad, the higher the risk. And they think that there is a biological mechanism that is linked to aging of fathers. So it has been a very interesting show tonight, a little bit heavy in terms of the research content, but I guess one of my key things I really want to say to you is really, really think about whether or not you want to be a parent. Is being a parent something that you'd like to experience in your lifetime? Because if so, it's something that you don't have a lot of time for, and it's really, really important to make sure that you take that time to really, really, really make a decision, because you know, you've only got one life. And sometimes we worry, spend too much time worrying about what's right or wrong. Yes, decide if you want the responsibility. Yes, decide whether or not you want your life to change, and whether this is something you'd like to do on your own or as a partner. But if you are choosing to impregnate or choose to become pregnant, make sure you really discuss that with whoever you're planning to have a baby with, because it is really, 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 really important. Normally up next after this show would be Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour, but he is not here tonight, so I will be wrapping the hour off with, of course, yes, some more peaches, a little bit of tent in your pants, which I thought would be highly appropriate. And then if I can figure out how to put the BBC on, I will be putting the BBC on. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR, and I'm going to be back next week at the Sexy Hour of 10 o'clock, and I'm actually really excited because I'm going to have a little bit of actually a lot of advice in terms of relational, what to do financially for yourself. And I have David Chen coming on to the show, who is a financial planner, who's going to give us a hand with that, both for heterosexual as well as same-sex couples. So you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye. The tent's so big. The tent's so big.
The tent's so big. The tent's so big. I see something in your pants that can't be real. Don't hold back, baby. Tell me what's the deal. I gotta move in closer and cop a feel. Oh my, you got something with mass appeal. The tent's so big in your pants, baby. The tent's so big in your pants.
If there's a housing crisis and there ain't anymore, need a place to go, you gotta open the door. Wanna save the night? Pull up the floor. Wanna feel alright? Party galore. You got a tense gig going in France, baby. And a men's gig up in your pants, baby. The kids need some new romance, baby. Come on, let's take a chance. The tent's so big in your pants, baby. Gonna bring my friends for a dance, baby. Gonna sell those tickets in advance, baby. And a man's geek up in your pants, baby. The tent's so big in your pants, baby. Gonna bring my friends for a dance, baby. Gonna sell those tickets in advance, baby. And a man's geek up in your pants.